You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza. Only on LA Talk Radio.
And welcome to Answers for the Family. I am your co-host, Dr. Melody Fox, along with Alan Cardoza, who is currently on vacation and will be returning with us next week. In the meantime, I am excited about our topic today. As a clinical psychologist and marriage family therapist working with teens for many years, the subject of bullying comes up, unfortunately, way too often. And I know in groups that I've done, most of the teens were bullied or knew of someone who had been bullied. And in this era of the I generation with whom technology has opened up more ways of bullying another person, it must be a concern for parents, professionals, and children alike. Well, today's guest is a licensed marriage family therapist and a certified anger resolution therapist who not only works with several nonprofit agencies, but also has a private practice in Huntington Beach, California. Jamie Mantell has been studying the effects of bullying, and I'm very pleased to welcome her here today on Answers for the Family. So welcome, Jamie, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Melody. I'm glad to be here.
Well, I'm very happy you're here, too. Well, today we'll be talking about bullying and what a parent can do. And bullying takes on many forms, and bullying is a serious public health issue that affects many teens. In fact, the effects of bullying can impact victims even after they enter adulthood. And as a parent, I believe you should learn how to recognize if your child is being bullied or if she's bullying someone else, and also know how you can help. But before we get into this, I was really curious on how you got interested in working with children and adults, Jamie.
While working on my bachelor's degree, I interviewed for an internship with a nonprofit agency, and I told them that I wanted to work with adults and couples. They told me they had internships working with the adolescents in the drug prevention program and that I would do well. My husband was a probation officer for Los Angeles County and worked with adolescents. So when I told him, he said that the internships, you know, would be just great and that I would do well. So I gave it a try, and I'm still working with children and teens and their families.
And do you have any children of your own?
Yes, four. My oldest is my daughter. Then I have twin sons, and my youngest is my son.
So you had a full house there.
Yeah.
Well, do you know of any bullying incidents with any of your children when they were growing up?
Well, mild forms, but yes, absolutely. As they got older, they would fight, and I'd have to intervene a lot.
Well, that, like any parent would, but children do fight with each other and bully each other once in a while. But help us understand a little bit more about bullying.
Well, children bully for many reasons. Some bully because they feel insecure. Picking on someone who seems emotional or physically weaker provides a feeling of being more important, popular, or in control. In other cases, children bully because they simply don't know that it's unacceptable to pick on children who are different because of size, looks, race, religion, etc. In some cases, bullying is a part of an ongoing pattern of defiant or aggressive behavior. These children are likely to need help learning to manage anger and hurt, frustration, or other strong emotions. They may not have the skills they need to cooperate with others. Professional counseling often helps them learn to deal with their feelings, curb their bullying, and improve their social skills. Some children who bully at school and in settings with their peers are copying behavior they may see at home.
Hmm.
Children are exposed to aggressive and unkind interactions in the family, often learn to treat others the same way. And children are on the receiving end of tantrum, learn that bullying can translate into control over children they perceive as weak.
So let me ask you, you mentioned the family a little bit. Where does bullying start?
Well, perhaps bullying can be triggered by a desire to seem cool or to assert social dominance. It can also be a mask for low self-esteem and a need for approval. Some children don't have a good sense of self. Parents have an opportunity to teach their children about their values, such as having compassion, empathy, respect, human dignity, and a responsibility for personal privacy. Watch for how your children may interact with other people. Talk to your child about how negative actions may affect others. Discuss how to replace the negative social behaviors with positive behaviors. Listen to what your child is saying and not judge them, and teach them empathy, respect, and compassion. Teach your child that there are consequences for violating others.
Now, Jamie, you mentioned empathy. Can you talk about empathy and how it or the lack of it can contribute to any bullying behavior?
Well, empathy is what I'm doing my research on. Bullying may start out at home, for instance, being mean to their siblings or being mean to others at school. Sometimes children may be a bully because there's intimidation in the household. Some people are likely to become victims if there's victimization in the family or from people outside. We could also look at links between sibling bullying and school bullying. I feel that our culture is partly to blame with the hostile tone of music and movies, and it can also focus on excellence and achievement, even at the expense of someone else.
So I know that we bully, we know a little bit about bullying. What does bullying look like, and about what can the parent do and the awareness of the bullying behavior?
While it's important for parents to know how to help victims of bullying, it's also critical that they be able to recognize if their child is the one doing the teasing. Mm-hmm. The National Education Association reports that there's more than 160,000 children who miss school every year for fear of attack or intimidation by other students.
That's a lot.
Bullying is aggressive behavior that is intentional, and it involves imbalance of power or strength. Usually it's repeated over time. Traditionally, bullying has involved actions such as hitting or punching or physical bullying, teasing or name-calling, or verbal bullying or intimidation through gestures or social exclusion. While bullying can take on many forms, some of the signs of fear are fear, anxiety, dropping grades, changes in habits, teasing, excluding a student, mm-hmm. calling a student names, physical pushing or attacking, threatening, hazing or spreading rumors, damaging or stealing belongings, or demanding money. A child may bully based on physical strength, social status, and intimidating behavior, including aggression, dominance, demands to always be the leader, and lack of empathy. The hurtful words or acts, even physical harm that can accompany bullying are also learned behaviors, and some parents are unaware that their child is intimidating others until they receive a phone call from school. Even if the bullying seems mundane now, it can escalate quickly and become much more difficult to deal with later. Contrary to popular belief, bullies are not necessarily the insecure, tough children. Some studies have shown that there are now just as many girls as boys who bully, and these children can be very confident and well-liked with lots of friends. A study by Vanderbilt University found that 60% of boys who bullied between 6th and 9th grades were convicted of at least one crime by the age of 24, while 40% had three or more convictions.
I have to say, Jamie, that is a lot of people getting convicted of crimes, and it's interesting to find out that they found out that bullying was a part of their lives at such an early age.
Yes, it is. And according to the 208 Yale Medical School report, bullied students are up to 9 times more likely to have suicidal thoughts than non-bullied students. And a 209 report from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention says that 32% of students 12 through 18 are bullied each year.
That is a lot of kids.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. It really is.
Too many.
It's staggering. And, well, you know, it appears so many people have been, currently are, or may be bullied. How can we help our children to stop the bullying behavior?
Well, we can let our child know how the bullying is unacceptable and that there will be serious consequences at home, school, and in the community if it continues. Try to understand the reasons behind your child's behavior. In some cases, children bully because they have trouble managing strong emotions, like anger, frustration, and insecurity. In other cases, children haven't learned cooperative ways to learn to work out conflicts and understand differences.
Okay, there are a lot of myths about bullying, and I'm going to read some thoughts about bullying, and you could tell me if it's true or if it's a myth. Is that okay with you?
That's okay with me.
Okay. The first one is, bullying is the same thing as conflict.
Wrong.
Oh, okay.
Bullying is aggressive behavior that involves an imbalance of power or strength. Often, bullying is repeated over time. Conflict involves antagonism among two or more people, whereas any two people can have a conflict or a disagreement or a fight. Bullying only occurs where there's a power of imbalance, where one child has a hard time defending himself or herself.
Okay. Unlike kids who might be the same age or siblings and they just kind of fight over, you know, who gets the last pizza. It's a little bit different than if somebody's bullying and beat you up if you eat that.
That's right.
Okay. So why is knowing the difference between bullying and conflict important?
Well, conflict resolution or mediation strategies are sometimes misused to solve bullying problems. These strategies can send the message that both children are partly right and partly wrong, or that we need to work out our conflict between you. These messages are not appropriate messages in cases of bullying or in any situation where someone is being victimized. The appropriate message to the child who is bullied should be, bullying is wrong and no one deserves to be bullied. We are going to do everything we can to stop it.
Well, what does work?
Well, research suggests that the best way to deal with bullying is through comprehensive programs that forces or changes the climate of a school and the social norms of a group.
Okay. Well, back to myth or not a myth. Most bullying is physical, involves hitting, shoving, and kicking.
Physical bullying may be what first comes to mind when adults think about bullying.
Yeah.
However, the most common form of bullying, both for boys and girls, is verbal bullying, such as name-calling, rumor-spreading. It is also common for youth to bully each other through social isolation, such as shunning or leaving a child out on purpose.
So, like the last kid standing, nobody picks them to participate in kickball or baseball or whatever
right.
It might be. Oh, yeah, I know what that's like. Okay, it doesn't feel good. Well, bullying, you know, another myth is bullying isn't serious. It's just a matter of children being children.
Bullying can be extremely serious.
Oh.
Bullying can affect the mental well-being, academic work, and physical health of children who are targeted. Children who are bullied are more likely than other children to have lower self-esteem and higher rates of depression, loneliness, anxiety, and suicidal thoughts. They are also more likely to want to avoid attending school and have higher school absenteeism rates. Recent research on the health-related effects of bullying indicates that victims of frequent bullying are more likely to experience headaches, sleeping problems, stomach ailments. Some emotional scars can be long-lasting. Research suggests that adults who were bullied as children are more likely than their non-bullied peers to be depressed and have low self-esteem as adults. Children who bully are more likely than other children to be engaged in other antisocial, violent, or troubling behaviors. Bullying can be negative, have a negative effect on children who observe bullying going on around them, even if they're not targeted themselves.
And that kind of goes back to that study you had mentioned a few minutes ago, that of that astronomical rate of people that are bullies end up in jail.
Right.
From that aggressive behavior or violent or antisocial mm-hmm. behavior. So, you know, another myth, or is it true? Bullying doesn't happen at my school.
Bullying is more common at some schools than others. However, it can happen anywhere children and youth gather. Studies show that between 15 to 25% of United States citizens are bullied with some frequency, sometimes or more often, while 15 to 20% admit that they bully others with some frequency within a school term. The best way to find out about bullying at your child's school is to ask children and youth themselves. One good way to do this is by administrating an anonymous survey about where bullying occurs, when it occurs, and how often it occurs.
Now, do you really think they could do an anonymous survey with kids in the school?
I'm not sure.
Well, I'm just wondering, because I do sometimes in my groups I've done, you know, anonymous things. Nobody puts a name on it, but they just fill out the forms just so I could get feedback. And, You know, I know sometimes they're concerned I'm going to be able to read their handwriting, so I'll know exactly who did what.
Well,
so.
I do know that anonymous would work better than having their name on it.
That's true. That's true. Well, you know, is bullying mostly a problem in urban schools, or is it just, or is it widespread?
Well, bullying occurs in rural, suburban, and urban communities and among children of every income level, race, and geographic region.
Again, another myth or not, bullying is more likely to happen on the bus than at the school.
Although bullying does happen on the bus, most surveys indicate that bullying is more likely to occur on school grounds. Common locations for bullying include playgrounds, the classroom, the cafeteria, bathrooms, and hallways. A student survey can help, again, to determine where the hot spots are in any particular school.
So it would be a good idea for the schools to perhaps put out a survey.
Absolutely.
And see what comes back, and that way they can monitor the hallways or the school rooms
right.
a little bit better. I know there was one school, well, it was a middle school that I was at, and I was walking down the hall one day to go see a client, and I saw other kids actually start to tease and kick another client. And that's right in front of me, and I'm an adult. Now, I know this was in the inner city, but, I intervened and got more help for them. But most of the other teachers, it seems like they just turned a blind eye to it because it happens so often.
It does happen often, Melody. I've seen it, too, working in the schools. I've seen children bullying each other or teasing, calling names, making fun of others.
Yeah, that's really hard to sit there and watch, and especially as an outsider coming into the school, I notice it more than the adults that are there that see it every day. I think sometimes they become a little bit more immune to it.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so my other question is, children and youth who are bullied will almost always tell an adult.
Adults are often unaware of bullying,
yeah, okay.
like we're just talking about, is
sure.
in part because many children and youth don't report it.
Okay.
Most studies find that only 25% to 50% of bullied children talk to an adult about the bullying. Boys and older children are less likely than girls and younger children to tell adults about bullying. Why are children reluctant to report it? Because they probably fear retaliation by children who are doing the bullying. So they may also fear that adults won't take any concerns seriously or will deal inappropriately with the bullying situation.
Which could be one of the problems that the schools are telling a teacher, okay, the other child gets sent to the principal's office, and
right.
then they get in trouble, and then they come back out to the schoolyard and, you know, start bullying. What were you doing, you snitch, or whatever. So, yeah, mm-hmm. it has to be a very terrible situation for children and teens alike, because as it said here, the older they are, the less likely they are to report. So,
yes.
you know, and boys more than girls. I'm wondering if that has to do with, you know, boys don't want to seem like they can't handle it, like they're tougher.
Right, they're tougher.
Well, children and youth are another myth here.
Mm-hmm.
Children and youth who are bullied are mostly loners, or who bully are mostly loners with fewer social skills.
Well, children who bully usually do not lack friends. In fact, some research finds that they have higher friendship networks than other children. Importantly, they usually have at least a small group of friends who support and encourage their bullying behavior. Bullies also generally have more leadership skills than victims of bullying or children not involved in bullying.
Well, you know, that makes total sense to me, because when you look at, like, even a gang or a little pack, or you see a bunch of people, there's always one person who's the leader.
Right.
And everybody kind of follows them and supports them in being the leader. So if you have a bully as a leader, or they might be too intimidated to leave the group.
That's a big problem.
That is a big problem. And that's not just an urban. When I say gangs,
no.
You have kids that are groups all over the United States and all over the country that have their own little cliques, their own little groups. And, you know, what's the movie, Mean Girls? Lindsay Lohan was in that. I saw it on TV the other day. They were mean. They were bullying everybody verbally.
Right.
And doing things. And, you know, the thing is, though, there's movies about it, and we laugh at it, but it really is a serious issue.
Yes.
So how do bully children learn to deal with bullying on their own?
Well, some children have confidence and skills to stop bullying when it happens, but many don't. Hmm. Moreover, children shouldn't be expected to deal with the bullying on their own. Bullying is a form of victimization or peer abuse. Just as society does not expect victims of other types of abuse, like child maltreatment or domestic abuse to deal with it on their own. We should not expect this form of victim, this from the victims of bullying. Adults have critical roles to play in helping to stop bullying, as do other children who witness or observe bullying.
So most children and youth who observe bullying don't want to get involved. Is that a myth or is that true?
Well, the good news is that most children and youth think that bullying is not cool and feel that they should do something if they see it happen. In a recent study of tweens, 56% said they usually either say or do something to try to stop bullying, and they observe or tell someone who could help. Mm-hmm. These children and youth play a critical role in helping stop bullying in schools and communities.
So it's probably a really good thing to educate everybody at
the
schools.
To educate them, yes.
So now, as I mentioned in the introduction of today's topic, technology has seemed to expand the opportunity to do the bullying. Can you take a moment and just describe a little bit about what cyberbullying is and what it can involve?
Yes. In recent years, technology has given youth and children new means of bullying each other. Cyberbullying is a relatively new form of bullying. It takes place over the internet through social media, websites, and forums, or through mobile devices. Cyberbullying can involve sending mean or vulgar threatening messages or images, posting sensitive private information and or lies about another person, mm-hmm. pretending to be someone else in order to make that person look bad, intentionally excluding someone from online group. Children and youth can cyberbully each other through emails, instant messages, texts, digital imaging, messages sent on cell phones, social networking sites, web pages, blogs, chat rooms, and discussion groups.
So there's a lot of ways that they could be bullied online. Now, cell phones are a huge part of the preteen and the teens, as they seem to prefer to communicate with one another through texting on their cell phones. I can't go by a day without seeing heads down of these teenagers just texting back and forth. And I've talked to teachers that say their biggest problem is they try to text under the table to one another, you know, throughout the entire class. And it's they think they're getting away with it, but we know what they're doing. So, you know, how has that contributed to some of the bullying behavior, that easy access and constant access to texts?
Well, because children can share messages quickly with a larger group of students, cyberbullying can be especially effective in spreading rumors about a student or harassing a student through the sharing of photos. Mm-hmm. Because this is a relatively new area of harassment, many school districts are still trying to determine the reach of their authority in off-campus cyberbullying attacks. Mm-hmm. Bullying can have far-reaching consequences for the victim. The perpetrators and other students who indirectly become distracted from their studies out of fear of becoming the bully's next victim. Bullying has been cited as a factor in teen suicides, as well as in a number of on-campus shooting masquerades, such as the infamous and tragic Columbine High School incident. In that case, media reports suggested that both of the shooters were victims of bullying. Because of events like Columbine, attention to bullying among children has increased dramatically among school personnel, members of the general public, and policymakers.
Now, Jamie, I know about your personal experience with bullying within your own family, and would you care to elaborate to our listeners about your recent tragedy? Because I think it's such an important part in our society and the part it's playing right now.
Well, Melody, as you know, it's still hard to talk about this recent tragedy, but to let your listeners know, Tyler Clemente has been in the news a lot lately, and Tyler was my nephew. Mm-hmm. Tyler recently committed suicide on September 22 of this year due to a cyberbullying incident where his privacy was maliciously invaded, where the outcomes ended in him taking his own life. This is part of the reason why I agreed to come here today and speak about this topic as a way to help others. Mm-hmm. This tragedy caused widespread public scrutiny to where our own government stepped in to create new legislation by introducing a bill to Congress called the Tyler Clemente Higher Education Anti-Harassment Act, which was signed by Governor Christie in November 22.
Well, I'm so sorry for your family's loss and the tragic ending of your nephew's life. And what can adults do to prevent and address cyberbullying or any kind of bullying?
Well, a little research has been explored has explored the possible effects of cyberbullying on the children. When students are asked how they believe cyberbullying affected them, they indicated that it made them sad or unwilling to attend school. Mm-hmm. Adults may not always be present in the online environments of children and youth. Therefore, it is extremely important that adults pay close attention to cyberbullying and the activities of children and youth when using these newer technologies. To help prevent cyberbullying, make an agreement with your children and to keep all the internet-capable devices out of the children's bedrooms. Mm-hmm. Talk regularly with the child about online activities that he or she is involved in. Talk specifically about cyberbullying and encourage your child to tell you immediately if he or she is a victim of it, either illegal or any kind of troublesome online behavior. Mm-hmm. Explain that you will not take away their technology if they confide in you about a problem they are having. Encourage your child to tell you if he or she is aware of others who may be victims of cyberbullying. Explain that cyberbullying is harmful and unacceptable behavior. Outline your expectations for responsible online behavior and make it clear that there will be a consequence for inappropriate behavior. Explain that treating others well online may also protect them from being harassed or cyberbullied. Mm-hmm. Although adults must respect the privacy of children and youth, concerns for your child's safety may sometimes override these privacy concerns. Tell your child that a responsible parent, you may be reviewing his or her online communications if you think there is a reason for concern. Consider installing parental controls, filtering software, and/or monitoring programs, but do not rely on these solely because these are the tools that you can use.
Now, you had mentioned consequences for inappropriate behavior. I know some of the consequences that I suggest for my parents to use when their children are misusing or receiving things on email or behavior in school, et cetera. What are some of the things that you might suggest as far as appropriate consequences? What is appropriate, do you think?
Well, because cyberbullying can range from rude comments to lies and threats,
So what are some consequences that you think would be good to use with the kids?
Well, personally, I would like to take their technology away, actually, until they learn how to handle it better.
So maybe, well, that was hard to say. Take away a child's technology
is
like sending them to life in prison without parole here, you know?
I know.
And they do need it because they need it for schoolwork and everything else. So maybe, like you had mentioned earlier, not putting it in the bedroom, maybe putting it maybe in the family rooms where the parents could look over their shoulder once in a while.
I'd like that. That's what I would do if I had younger children. Mine are grown.
Thank goodness you don't have to deal with that anymore. I think it's really important for parents to have an opportunity. I mean, not every kid needs to have their technology in their bedroom.
Right.
I mean, you could put restrictions on. You could use the computer between this time and this time. You could have your cell phone. If there's problems with the texts, I know what I've done, and I don't know if you agree with this or not, but I've often said to the parents, okay, at 10 o'clock at bedtime, you get the cell phone. You know, it goes in the parents' bedroom until the morning.
Good.
Because then that way, you know, they aren't texting all night and doing things that might be inappropriate or be receiving things that are inappropriate. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, they should be in bed by 10 o'clock if they're getting up early and going to school in the morning.
Oh, but you know
but
they aren't.
We're talking about
teenagers here. You know, to heck with needing 9-10 hours of sleep at night and their brain
of course
is still
not
growing. So, I know we're talking about, you know, bullying in general, bullying in person, bullying on the cyber, but... And I do understand that cyberbullying can range from rude comments to lies, impersonations, and threats. And your responses may depend on the nature and the severity of the cyberbullying. But what are some of the actions that you may want to take after the fact, after that happens?
Some of the actions I may want to take after that happens, I'm not sure. Well,
so as far as taking the actions that you might want to take, like, do you encourage them to respond to the cyberbullying, or do you tell them not to, or what do you do?
No, I would strongly encourage the child not to respond to the cyberbullying. But don't erase the messages or pictures. Save them as evidence if ever needed. Mm-hmm. Try to identify the individual doing the cyberbullying. Even if the cyberbullying is anonymous, for example, using a fake name or someone else's identity, mm-hmm. there may be a way to track them through your internet service provider. If the cyberbullying is criminal, or if you suspect that it may be, contact the police and ask them to do the tracking. Jurisdictions and states differ in the definitions of what constitutes criminal behavior, but by the following may constitute a crime, which are threats of violence, mm-hmm. extortion, obscene or harassing phone calls and text messages, mm-hmm. harassment, stalking or hate crimes, child pornography, sexual exploitation, and taking a photo image of somebody in the place where he or she would expect privacy.
Okay. Well, Jamie, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue a little bit more about some tips of dealing with bullying and cyberbullying and all that fun stuff, and I have a couple listener questions for you, so just stand by. Please come back to us in 1 minute, 60 seconds for more Answers for the Family, and our topic today is bullying, and our guest, Jamie Mantell.
Thank you.
Founded over 25 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, West Shields specializes in resolving adolescent issues that negatively impact the family. From preteen to young adult, we are experienced and qualified to help. We offer solutions which include referrals to a network of top professionals internationally that we work very closely with in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, and psychiatry. Our in-home crisis intervention care program helps to stabilize families and bring effective resolution. We are supported by our licensed investigation company that enables us to offer legal and expert services for locating runaway teens and more. Our therapeutic transportation services help to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely provided transportation to specialized schools and programs with unmatched experience and success. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services is the best solution when your family is facing personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585 and let us help you.
And we're back for Answers for the Family. I'm Dr. Melody Fox, licensed clinical psychologist and marriage family therapist, along with Alan Cardoza, who is on vacation today. And our special guest in studio today is Jamie Mantell, licensed marriage family therapist, who does a lot of research and talks a lot about bullying. And before we went to the break, we were talking a little bit about ways to, some actions you could take after the fact if your child is dealing with bullying, cyberbullying in particular at this moment. So we were talking about taking photo images of someone in a place where he or she would expect privacy. It would be a form of that. Sexual exploitation, harassment, obscene or harassing phone calls or texts. And I know a lot of teens I work with, some of the girls get a lot of obscene messages on their texts and pictures.
They do.
Which is very unfortunate. And you know, I think there was a football player recently, too. I can't remember which one. Sorry, I'm not a big football person. I'm a hockey gal. But, the football player that got in trouble for recently sending photographs of his genitalia area to some people. So, you know, it's happening all over in all ages, and that could be harassment, that could be bullying. But what are, you know, talk about a little bit about sending inappropriate language as well.
Okay, Melody. Sending inappropriate language may violate the terms and conditions of email services, internet service providers, websites, and cell phone companies. So consider contacting these providers and filing a complaint.
Okay.
If the cyberbullying is coming through email or a cell phone, it may be possible to block future contact from the cyberbully. Or, of course, the cyberbully may assume a different identity and continue the cyberbullying.
Okay, is there anything you could do with the school?
Well, you can contact them if the cyberbullying is occurring through your school's internet system. School administrators have an obligation to intervene even if the cyberbullying is occurring off campus, mm-hmm. make the school administrators aware of the problem. They may be able to help you resolve the cyberbullying or be watchful for face-to-face bullying. Mm-hmm. Consider contacting the cyberbully's parents. The parents may be concerned to learn that their child has been cyberbullying, may put an effective stop to this bullying. On the other hand, these parents may react negatively to you contacting them. So please proceed with caution.
Okay.
If you decide to contact a cyberbullier's parents, communicate with them in writing, not face-to-face.
Why would you do that?
Because there could be aggression. And
Don't put yourself at risk. Danger. Okay.
Or the child at risk. Present proof of bullying to the parent, copies of the email message, or ask them to make sure your cyberbullying stops.
Okay.
If you're uncertain if the cyberbullying violates your jurisdiction criminal laws, contact your local police, and then they'll advise you what to do.
Okay. And, you know, I would hope that they would advise. Do you think the police force has more awareness and is more helpful these days than perhaps the past few years?
I think in view of all the things that happened over these last year or two, mm-hmm. I think they're more equipped to handle this.
Okay. Now, what are some resources that people could utilize to get more help or find out more about bullying?
Well, a great website that I went to look at for children, mm-hmm. and actually K-8. Was the resource called Stop Bullying Now and What Adults Can Do. The site gives parents and children ways to learn about bullying and games. They have webisodes, they call, which are short animated stories.
Uh-huh.
They have quizzes that the children can take after they view the story. It's just great.
Now, that's with the University of Indianapolis, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, so they could go to the university's website and
yes.
look that up. Okay, and also I know it says it's for kindergarten through eighth grade, but I know a lot of teenagers that like to color and take quizzes, and I know adults. Okay, I'll self-disclose. I love taking those little things too. They're
actually,
fun.
Actually, Melody, I did take two of them myself. They were fun.
Yeah, so it's not just for K through eighth.
Not at all.
But you can learn a lot through taking those quizzes and looking at those little short animated stories and some of the games to play. And maybe some of your teenagers, you know, they could play with their younger siblings, which would be great because then they're learning as they're teaching and helping their mm-hmm. kids too. So I think that would be a great resource. So that's the University of Indianapolis.
Right.
And
and it also has what parents can do. So it's for both.
Okay. So it'll review a lot of what we talked about here today on what a parent can do that.
Yes.
So, Jamie, we did mention earlier, you did mention earlier about new legislation introduced to Congress as an outcome of your nephew's death. What exactly does the bill of the Bully Act cover?
Well, basically, the bill is an expansion of the Civil Rights Bill that now includes a new list of Bill of Rights, where the learning institutions can get funding for programs that support the students involved in these types of harassment. And that's a good start.
Yeah, it is.
I personally want to thank United States Senator Frank L. Ludenberg and Representative Rush Holtz, mm-hmm. both from New Jersey, who introduced the Tyler Clemente Higher Education Anti-Harassment Act legislation that for the first time would require colleges and universities to have anti-harassment policies in place. The bill introduced to the United States Senate and House of Representatives would also provide funding for schools to establish or expand programs to prevent harassment of students.
I think that's great. I think the schools need a lot more funding.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I also want to thank Governor Chris Christie of New Jersey for passing the bill on November 22, 2010 in New Jersey. It is my understanding that it may become a national bill to be signed by the president.
Mm-hmm.
And I also want to thank our local House Congresswoman Linda Sanchez of the 39th District of California for co-sponsoring the bill and anyone else who helped.
Yeah. Where can they get a copy of the bill if they wanted to see that? Because I think it's a very important bill. I know we're not a political show at all, but we are talking about mm-hmm. bullying and finding ways to support helping our children not to be bullied and to gain more awareness of that?
Okay, well, it's called Senate Bill S-3960, mm-hmm. and it could be found on http://Lutenberg, that's L-A-U-T-E-N-B-E-R-G, .senate.gov/assets.anti-bully.pdf.
That is a mouthful. I'll tell you what, we'll try to get that on our website. So if anybody wants to go to answersforthefamilyblog.com later on, they can get all the information on that. And we'll also have that link as well as Jamie's information. And you could also contact Jamie. And your telephone number, Jamie, please.
It's 714-514-3076.
Okay, that's 714-514-3076. So, Jamie, I want to thank you for being so candid with your experiences and all the wonderful information and resources you've provided with us today. I mean, there's a lot going on with bullying, and I think it's really important that parents become more aware, take a look at what some of the symptoms may be, some of the behaviors might be of the person being bullied and the person being the bully. A lot of times our children the parents don't want to look at their children as they could possibly be a bully. And if they are, let's find out what's going on. Is there a self-esteem issue or something else? But before we go, we do have a couple listener questions that were emailed into us. And the first one is, I was listening to a program on NPR recently, and they were discussing the fact that a new study has identified in a part of the brain in the frontal lobe that when larger in size has shown very dramatic differences in a person's compassion and social skills. Now, have you heard of this, and does it make sense that kids may become bullies to compensate for their inability to communicate or have compassion?
Well, although I do listen to NPR, I am not familiar with the study they discussed about the brain. Mm-hmm. And not being a psychologist or psychiatrist, I haven't studied the brain. As a marriage family therapist, I do study relationships and can say that I believe that bullying behavior may compensate for the inability to communicate mm-hmm. or to be compassionate. That is why it is so important for parents to know how to work with their children and help them.
Yeah. And another question. I've been a middle school teacher in a very nice Chicago suburb for 10 years. I was never really aware of bullying being a problem that was occurring right under our noses until 1 year ago when two girls, 12 and 14, tried to commit suicide a few months apart. All our staff were asked to take a series of classes to identify the signs of bullying. To your knowledge, is this becoming a national trend?
Yes, it's so sad. It is becoming a national trend. And I'm hoping more and more that by getting the word out to parents, educators, families, that we could, you know, learn more about bullying behavior signs, either way, the bully or the bullier.
Now, do you think that bullying is more of a trend, or do you think, or suicide provided part of a trend, or do you think it's more that we're talking about it more?
Well, I believe we're talking about it more, and it's probably happened all along, you know, it has, but
they just haven't put two and two together
yet. With all the technologies now out there, there's more ways to bully and more ways for people to be suicidal and commit suicide.
And again, I'm very sorry for the loss in your family. Yeah. And, you know, I believe that talking about this today may help many parents and children who are maybe facing the effects of bullying in their lives. And again, I want to thank you, Jamie. And if you would
You're
like
welcome.
To reach Jamie for consultation or interventions, please do so by calling her directly at 714-514-3076 or writing to her. Her email is jamiemantellmft@yahoo.com. That's jamiemantellmft@yahoo.com. And we'll have that information on our website, too. Now, we have about 5-6 more minutes, and I did want to make sure we had a little bit of time to talk about the new year, because the new year is coming up. And, you know, we just got through talking about very serious problem, and I kind of hate to end the holiday on a serious note for the end of the year. Trying to think a little bit more upbeat here, but The big thing about the New Year's, I think, is not only celebrating that we have finished another year and we're getting ready for a brand new year. A lot of New Year's resolutions are taking place right now. And are there any resolutions that you like to do, or do you believe in resolutions? Do you think it's important or not?
Well, I do believe in resolutions. I believe that we should have goals that we set for ourselves. It would be nice to do that at the beginning of the year.
Uh-huh.
And then we can measure if, you know, we've reached those goals. But they should be short and attainable goals. Like, I do want to lose weight myself.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to be very happy to lose 5 pounds at a time.
There you go.
Instead of a big whopping 20.
Yeah, I would love to drop 20, but wouldn't most of us, especially after all the holiday feasts that we've had.
Yes.
But, you know, New Year's Eve really has been a time for looking back to the past and, more importantly, forward to the coming future and the coming year. And it's also a time to reflect on some of the changes we want or we need to make or resolve to follow through on those changes. But I think your idea of doing short-term goals or reachable goals is really important. And that kind of falls into the cognitive behavioral therapist mind. I'm a cognitive behavioral therapist too.
Yes.
I know you are as well.
Yes.
And, you know, we believe in having measurable, reachable goals that you can succeed in. Because
absolutely.
As soon as you stop succeeding in a goal or a resolution, it's like, I give up.
Right. You have to be able to attain those goals.
Yeah. Well,
or change them if they don't work.
Exactly. But, you know, research shows that while 52% of participants in resolution study were confident of their success in their goals, only 12% actually achieved their goals. And, you know, I think that's because people have very lofty goals.
They do. I used to myself, and then I changed my thinking.
Yeah, well, I think the big thing is to have your big long-term goals, saying you want to lose 20 pounds, but then make the short-term goals to do it in 5-pound increments.
Right.
And do it over the course of 2 or 3 months, because you want to, especially losing weight, you want to do it at a healthy rate, and also check in with your doctor to make sure that you're doing it the right way.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but they say that men, I thought this was interesting, men achieve their goal 22% more often when they're engaged in a goal setting. So for men, it may be better for them to set a goal for themselves,
right.
Such as a pound a week, or instead of saying, I'm just going to lose weight. Well, women succeed 10% more when they made their goals public and got support from their friends. Now, I found that interesting because... Yeah, well, you tell a friend, I guess you could get more social support in doing that goal.
Right.
But if you fail, everybody knows. But I think women are more forgiving. I think if a guy's out there telling everybody their goal and then they don't make it, then there might be some male ego involved in that. I'm not sure. But I thought that was interesting at all. And I had some more stuff I thought I wanted to talk about, and I know I do. I just put it somewhere for a second. But as far as resolutions, so yours is for goals then, or for yours is to lose weight, which interesting is one of the top three things that people want to do. In fact, going down the list of some of the goals that people do for New Year's resolution, spend more time with family and friends. 50% of the Americans vow to appreciate loved ones and spend more time with their family and friends this year and make plans to meet up with friends for an evening, for a night of fun and companionship. And I think that's a great goal.
A wonderful goal.
And then second was fit and fitness and regular exercise, increasing their interest in fitness. As we all know, from this time forward through January, we're going to see a lot of specials on gyms. They want people to join.
And that's when I joined. Many years ago.
And do you go regularly?
I don't go regularly, but that could be another goal, another resolution.
Okay.
I'd like to start at least twice a week.
Well, I have to say, they do count on everybody wanting to have that resolution and go, but about a month or two into it, things seem to fade away until it gets close to bikini season, then everybody wants to go in and look good again.
Yes.
But the other one is taming the bulge. Setting reasonable goals again is a really good way to stay focused, and it does help with sticking on a weight loss program if that's one of your resolutions. Quit smoking. If you have resolved to make this the year that you stamp out your smoking habit, over-the-counter availability of all those nicotine replacement therapies can now provide an easier way to quit if you have a hard time going cold turkey. I think it's really important. That would be a good one. And there's no reason to be smoking anymore. There's too much evidence out there that does not support that continued habit. Enjoying life more. I think that was a really good goal in the top 10 for people. Enjoying life more, quit drinking, getting out of debt, learning something new, helping others, and getting organized. That are all the very top things for the New Year's resolution. I know I've got a few, but I try not to make them resolutions. I just do them as goals. And again, Jamie, thank you so much, and thank you for listening to Answers for the Family. Just if you'd like to hear this repeated, you can just go to answersforthefamilyblog.com and go ahead. And as Alan likes to say, today find someone doing something well. Bye-bye.
Listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza. Only on LA Talk Radio.